Good morning, church. Good to see you all this morning. Got to get my notes in order here. All right. So we're talking about the wise men today. For the last 3 weeks, we talked about the gifts that the wise men gave, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of you took frankincense and myrrh home to try and burn as an incense. How did that go? Any fire calls? Guess it was okay. All right. So today, we're going to talk about what the wise men actually did, their whole experience there. And we're talking about wisdom, the fact that we call them wise men. The word in the Bible is actually magi. And we're not totally sure what magi means. A lot of scholars have talked about this. What did it truly mean, wise men? Were they kings? Were they royalty? Were they astrologers that followed stars? I think wise men sums all of that up to say they were in tune with what was going on around them. And they knew something was coming, and as wise men could do, they went to find it. So we're talking about wisdom today. I'm going to read you some scripture about wisdom. Wisdom is a good thing. It's different than intelligence. You can be intelligent and still not have wisdom. I'm working on fixing my washing machine at home. You kind of know where this story's going already, don't you? So our washing machine started making this banging noise, like somebody was trying to get out. I hadn't put any of the kids in there, so that wasn't it. And it was getting worse, so I called a friend who does some repairs, and he said, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. And I thought, well, that's okay. You know, where a repairman fears to tread, I'll go. So I looked up some stuff online, and I opened up my washing machine. I've never opened up a washing machine. The lid or the inside, to be honest. So I open it, and the first thing I find is a cement block. Lane, why is there a cement block? Wendy, you know there should be one. You're like, have you been in your washing machine? You need to find a new hobby. So yeah, there's this cement block. I'm like, why is this? And obviously, I could see where it had chipped. The whole basket was banging into it, and that's where I'm getting this huge noise from. And I'm like, well, I know that's wrong. So I got online, and after a while, I was able to find the actual schematic for the washing machine. Because I thought, there's no reason for this to be in here. And I had a repairman before. I thought maybe he put that in there to do like a cheap fix. Oh, it's better now. Yeah. It's supposed to have this cement brick in there. It sits in the bottom tray under, you know, the rotating basket, and it's a counterbalance. Now, somehow, it came unscrewed and was laying in the bottom. I don't know how it got there. I'm still thinking about the last repairman that was there, because it seems a little bit odd. So, anyway, I'm working, but it's hard to work on, because you just can't get around to what you have to get to. Now, ours is one of those washing machines that doesn't have the post in the middle. You know, they call that an agitator. So ours is an agitator-less washing machine. It is not an agitator-less washing machine. I know why they call that thing an agitator, because our washing machine agitates me. So the bad news is it isn't quite fixed yet. The good news is I haven't hurt myself yet, so we're kind of in even ground. It takes wisdom sometimes to decide things. I need knowledge to fix the washing machine. But I also need wisdom to decide, Robert, is this really your kind of thing or not? You know, Legos are challenging enough. Can you do a washing machine? That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. It's great to have knowledge, but somebody who's wise knows how to apply it. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom, and especially in Proverbs. I know what kind of Bible studies you do, but a great thing to do is read through one chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 of them. So it's a perfect one-month study. One chapter of Proverbs a day for a month. If you don't do a lot of Bible study, it's a great place to start. And there is a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. In fact, the first couple chapters talk about how important wisdom is. So I thought before we talk about the wise men, I'm just going to read chapter 3. A whole chapter? Yes, a whole chapter. I know it's crazy. But it's good to read Scripture. It's good. So just listen to what the Bible says about wisdom. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart, and if you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep in your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand, and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they'll refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done harm to you. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks the mockers, but his grace is to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to the shame. Wisdom is important in God's eyes. And when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about godly wisdom. And that's when we start talking about these wise men. I don't know their history. None of us do. It's very vague, the information we have about the wise men. We know they came from the East. We have good reason to believe that maybe they came from Persia. If that's the case, that means they traveled over 500 miles to come see Jesus. Imagine these wise men traveling through the desert to meet this child, this future king, because they knew it was important. We don't know how many wise men there were. As we said during our last series, we often see three wise men in a nativity scene, but the only reason there's three wise men is because we hear about three gifts. So people assume, well, there must be three wise men. We don't know how many wise men were in the party. We just know they came to see Jesus. Let's review that verse. This is remember, the wise men came, and they went to Herod first, the reigning person over the Jews at the time. And Herod, of course, was interested in finding Jesus, too, because he wanted to kill him. So after they're interviewed by Herod, this is where Matthew picks it up. He says, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and they stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The first thing the wise men did was seek Jesus. That's the first trait of somebody who is wise. You're seeking after what is right. You're not just floating through life, letting things come and go, whatever happens, happens. No, you are seeking your God. You want to know, are you doing right? You want to know you have purpose. You want to know that you're cared for and that you're loved and that you can love, thereby your purpose. Wise people seek God. We don't just take things for granted, we look. Where is God? And that's what the wise men did. They traveled to find him. They didn't stay comfortable where they were. They went and sought God. Are you seeking God? Or are you just traveling through life? You just sort of do the religious thing and show up for church. But, you know, are you really seeking him? If you've ever felt like your life is empty, like you're just not sure what you're supposed to be doing or where you're going or what's happening on the journey, maybe you're not seeking God. If God created you, he must know what purpose he has for you. And he is also the one that loves you. So seek him out, and those voids in your life will start to be filled. Trust me in this. Many people walk around empty, and they're not even sure why. It's because they're not seeking. Seek your God, and you will be filled. And trust me, if you seek him, you will find him. Then they did this. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down, and they worshiped him. After they saw it, they worshiped. Because the wise men sought God, they found him, and everything came into perspective. They knew their God. They knew who God was. They realized who they were. And that's what happens when you know God. When you know him, life suddenly comes into perspective. We see the greatness of God. We see our own failings, and yet we see ourselves lifted up through the blood of Christ, that we are of worth and value. And because of that, the wise men worshiped their God. They bowed down and they worshiped this little baby. Worship is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I don't know how you feel about it. We feel pretty strongly about it at New Danville. We feel so strongly about it, sometimes we argue over what is proper worship, which are the right songs, how do we sing them, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm just excited that we take worship to heart. Do you know what worship really does? We talked about this a few years ago. We did a study on worship. Worship, we're coming to God and we're singing his praises. And God asks us to worship. Now, that might sound self-serving of God. Well, God's got an ego. He wants us to sing to him and love on him and talk about all his praises. No, God doesn't need that to exist. He doesn't need you to worship him. But when you worship him, he knows this, that you're focusing on him. You're starting to bring your life back into alignment because we focus on our God. We're putting everything else of the world aside, and we're looking to him. And somebody wisely once said, what you worship, you become. So if you want to become like God, if you want to imitate God, then you worship him, and you adore him, and you become more like him. We say that here at New Danville. Our purpose is to love and imitate God, and our mission is to help others do the same. Our purpose is to love and imitate God, and our mission is to help others do the same. And we do that through worship. When we worship God, we're connecting with our Creator. And does God get good out of it too? Sure he does, because his creation is talking with him. Why did he create you? Because he wants to communicate with you. He wants to share in his goodness with you. God wanted your friendship, so he created you. And what a great friendship it is when we're communicating to each other through worship. Sometimes that worship is song. Sometimes it's dance. Sometimes it's in what we do. Let me worship you, Father, by caring for somebody that I know. Let me worship you. Worship is important. It centers us and puts us back where we need to be. So they would seek, then they worshiped, and then it says, then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We seek, we worship, and we give. We give back to God. Everything we have, we got from God anyway. There are no self-made men. Everything comes from God. Now, certainly, we are motivated to do. We have a responsibility. I'm not putting that aside. But anything that we can do because God has given to us. So anyone who's in connection with God and worships him and loves him, it's natural then to give to him. And I mean time, talent, and treasure. So we give monetarily to the ministry. We give our time by taking care of others, by taking care of what we do here at the church. And we give our talents, whether we're good dancers or singers or speakers, or we can clean. These things are important. And I don't want it to sound self-serving, because I know everyone's always waiting, oh, the pastor's coming for money now. No. I think if anything hit New Danville, we'd probably be accused of not asking enough. Because the reality is, God asks you to give. And you should, joyously. Now, the reason I don't press it so hard is because you're supposed to give because you want to, not because the pastor told you you have to. And we're getting kind of out of kilter. You give because you love God and you want to. If you bought presents for your kids this Christmas, did you do it because you had to do it? Yes? Somebody said, oh, yes. If mom doesn't give me a present, she'll pay one way or the other. Yeah. Wow. See, even I learn things on, I come to church. We give because we want to. And when you love God, you want to give. Now, the question becomes, what do you got to give to God? He's got everything, You know he doesn't. You would think God has everything, but he doesn't. You know what he doesn't have, at least automatically, is you. He doesn't have sin either. I heard that. Yes, you're theologically correct. He does not sin. He does not own any sin. He doesn't have you. And the reason is this, because when he created you, he wasn't going to force you to love him. He said, I'm going to create you, and I'm going to give you a choice whether you want to love me or not. So if you really want to give God a gift, give him you. And the way you do that is through your worship, your time, your treasure, and your talent. Give to God. It's a beautiful thing. And you'll find after a while that it feels good to give. Don't give until it hurts. Give until it feels good. But take on that mantle. Take on that responsibility to give to ministry, to give to the church, that things go forward. I had to really compose myself this morning. I was watching the dancers from the back. I was trying to review my message. It was a busy week. There was an unexpected funeral. Funerals are always unexpected. And there was just a lot going on with Christmas. So I wrote my message and never went back over it. I thought, by the time I get up on the platform, it's going to be as much a surprise to me as it is to you. But I was watching through the door at the dance, and I just had to put my notes down and watch. And I was kind of crying a bit, because I just thought how much people have given. We started this journey 5 years ago. We didn't know what future there was for New Danville, what future there was for my ministry. And we just had to rely on God. And I looked here and I saw these beautiful dancers giving their talent to God. And I saw a room packed, people looking for seats. We didn't used to have that problem. And I thought, God is so good. And we just need to worship him. And he's given us so much. How can we not give back to him? As a side note, we have more chairs. Please don't stop coming. We bought more. And there is always room for you here. It feels good to be crowded in with our brothers and sisters, because this is family and this is important. And this is a place where you can give. And I'm not just chasing after money now, but you can give your heart to others. You know, every Sunday you come in here, you see a lot of people, and you might think they're really well put together. Let me tell you, we're a whole messed up bunch here. We all have our issues. We do. And we need each other. So consider church. Sometimes people say, I don't really need church. You know what? Sometimes church needs you. Get here. Be involved. And give, like the wise men gave. And here's the coolest thing at the end. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. In other words, God told them, don't go back to Herod. He's trying to kill Jesus. You're not going to go that way. And they heard God, and they went home another way. What's exciting about that was God was communicating with them. See, God talks to his children. When you seek him, when you worship, when you give, you get in a right relationship with God, and you start to hear from him. Now, it might not be an audible voice, but he'll start to direct your paths. Like the proverb said, he cares for those who are his children, and he will guide you. So if you're afraid you're not really hearing from God, well, maybe it's time to start seeking him a little bit more, to being more involved, to really give your worship. Not worry about what the person next to you is doing or if they're bumping into you during worship, but just take the song words to heart that you see on that screen. Say, God, this is for you. And believe me, you'll hear from him. And what you'll get all out of that is the one thing that everybody is looking for, and that's a peace right here. Isn't that the beautiful part of the manger scene? Like, you know, even seeing the camels on the screen there, just out in the desert, and you get that sense of peace at night. Don't we all love that about the Nativity? It was that quiet, that sereneness, and some of us are desperate to find that in our lives. The best place you're going to find that is in front of a little cradle with a little baby in it named Jesus. Then you'll truly find peace. Some of you look for it in the strangest places. You'll look for it in broken relationships. Some of you look for it in bars. Some of you look for it in drugs. Some of you look for it in your hobbies. And I see it happen time and again. You're in this cycle, and it happens over and over. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you start doing it again because you're looking for peace in the wrong place. And what you're finding is a temporary fix. You're not finding the real healing. That only comes through God. We're a dopamine generation. What do I mean by a dopamine generation? Dopamine is a chemical that's released in your brain when something good happens. If you pet your dog, ooh, a little dopamine rush comes out. You get a present on Christmas you really like, some dopamine. Legos, for me, dopamine, you know, it's a rush. Intimacy with your partner, dopamine is the release. It makes us feel good. And we as a society have decided that's where we're going to find our peace, is when we find things that just make us feel good. We're afraid of pain anymore. You know, sometimes pain is a good thing. We're going to talk about that in the new year. Everything's got to be fixed immediately. So we need this dopamine rush, and that's what drugs do. Opioids are a huge rush of dopamine to your brain. But that's not where true peace comes from. Because every time you have that kind of dopamine rush, it always goes away. And there's never true peace. So you're chasing after things, you're seeking things that are not really going to help you. I challenge you this year, seek God, worship him, give of yourself, plenty of areas to be involved here, and then you'll hear from God. I guarantee it. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you delivered the baby Jesus here to earth, because the joy there was it was a promise fulfilled, that you would send a Savior. It was the same with the Israelites, Lord. They had a sacrifice system where it had to keep happening again and again and again and again. There was never total peace. But when Jesus came, it was done once for all. So, Lord, would we seek out that true peace this year, put away the hustle and the bustle, and seek him that we might really get through the valleys with a spirit of peace and hope, knowing that Jesus will always be there to take care of us. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.